All right. Hey, we're so glad. Listen. We're having such a good time socializing. I love it. Hey, we're glad you're here tonight. Let me tell you what's going to be happening the next few weeks. All right, we have named this series Date Right, which is like date night, but date right. Can you believe we came up with that amazing play on words? I didn't come up with it. But Date Right is our series. We're going to do that the next 3 weeks. And tonight, we're going to be talking about what it looks like to be prepared to be ready to date. So preparation tonight. And I haven't got to that yet. That's one of our sponsors. I'm going to come to that in a minute. I'll explain that. You just ruined my joke. Just kidding. I'll show you that in a minute anyway. That is what we're going to talk about. The three things we're going to talk about is preparation tonight, and I'll explain that sponsor in just a minute. And then the second week, we're going to talk about God's people and how they can be part of helping you with dating, how you can get counsel, how you can live in the light, how you can confess, how you can get counsel from others on how to date and all that and have accountability with that. And then the third week is we're going to talk about patterns of dating, maybe that you've been that have been part of your life that you need to look at, and then a plan for dating moving forward, okay? And so it's going to be a great 3 weeks. My joke was that Preparation H is our sponsor because dating can be a real pain in the tail. But that was my joke. But I know. I'm a student guy originally. But that stands for Preparation Healthy Dating. That's what that means. All right, does it make sense now? Hey, I know that this topic can be a hard one, and let me just say this. We hope that as you're thinking about this, I know for some of you, maybe dating relationships in the past, you can take that down, sponsors. The joke's over, Marlon. A lot of jokes are timing, and you've ruined it twice now. Take it down. It's good. I know this can be a hard topic. This can be something that for many of you may be discouraging or this may bring up things that were hard for you or times that were hurtful, that kind of thing. So we want to be pastoral with this. But we also want to say that we think this is part of life. And so we want to address it. We want to tell you what God's word says about it. But here's what's interesting is God's word doesn't address dating. It addresses marriage and addresses singleness. And so we're going to talk about both those tonight. And if you look at our Gather logo, some of y'all know that the period before the G, you probably wonder why we do that. Well, the reason is because we believe that there's so much of your story to be written, okay? And that God is the author of your story, and he has a good story that he's writing for you. And so when you think about that, when we think about being with you and we think about getting to minister alongside you or to you, we're excited that the Lord would allow us to be any part of your story. So that's why we think about that. And so when it comes to dating, we want you to know that we believe God has a plan for that. And it could be right now, he's given you the gift of singleness. And you go, oh, the gift of singleness. We're going to talk about that tonight. Yes, we're going to talk about that. So here's what we're going to talk about tonight. With preparation, we're going to use an acronym because every good talk at Watermark has an acronym in it. You have to do it, okay? And so the acronym we're going to use is PREP. And so here's the P in PREP is that you would practice surrender. Okay, I want you to think about some verses that the scripture talks about with surrender to the Lord. And what I mean by surrender is surrendering to a good God who has your best in mind. And it's important for us to trust the Lord with all of our life. And so think about some of the scriptures, Galatians 2:20. Let's look at that one. It says, if you think about Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Guys, we love to quote that verse or say that verse, but isn't it hard to live? That I would really trust the Lord, that I would surrender to his plan. Here's another verse to think about, Psalm 139, 16 and 17. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. Do you love that? That God's thoughts about you, his precious thoughts about you are so many they can't even be numbered, that he cares for you, that he loves you, that there's a God in heaven who loved you enough to send his one and only son to die on the cross for your sin and my sin. And he rose again and conquered sin and death. That's amazing. So what ultimately happens is we have to trust that the one who's writing our story is good. And as we think about what he's writing, we have to trust him. And so I thought about this for my sons. If my son is getting ready to be 17, my youngest son, if he comes to me and says, "Hey, Dad, I've decided that all I want to eat at meals right now is those Reese's peanut butter pumpkins." Have you all had these? They're amazing, okay? And if he said, "I want to eat that at every meal, and that's what I want to do," and I would say, "Son, you can do that, but it's going to make you very sick, okay? And it wouldn't be good for you. And you have to trust that I have a better plan for you." And that's ultimately what we're asking as we surrender to an even better Heavenly Father. We say, "Lord, I'm going to trust your plan." John 3:30 says this, "He must increase and I must decrease." Think about that. John the Baptist out in the wilderness when he's teaching the people out there. And here's a guy who's teaching and people are coming and crowds are coming. And the Pharisees are coming and listening to him. And he could have made it about himself. But what he kept thinking was, in his great line in the scripture, where he says, "I'm not even worthy to tie his sandals. I want to be a person that points to Jesus." And you get a chance to be that too. Luke 9:23 says this, "And he said to all, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross daily and follow me.'" And so when it comes to our trusting the Lord, how often does it say we trust him? Every day. And I am every day looking at the Lord going, "Lord, again, I trust you. Your mercies are new every morning." Even if you've come in tonight and you're in the middle of a really hard time, you're in the middle of a sin struggle, you're in the middle of some stuff, the Lord would say, "Hey, come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest." And I want to tell you one of the things that I've seen with many of you as I thought about this idea of surrendering and practicing that. When I see our leaders and I see many of you living with such joy, the way you have deep friendships, the way you're living life to the fullest, that there is a sense about you that I have all I need in Christ, I am so encouraged by that. In essence, you are married to Christ first. You are seeking his kingdom first, and all these other things shall be added unto you. And it's been a testimony to me in the way you are doing that. And I've seen many of you right now, if you are single, you have been given the gift of singleness. And many of you are going, that's not the gift I wanted, if you're honest. Okay, and that's honest, right? That some of you feel that way. But I want to read to you what the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 7, what Paul said, who was a single man. And I want you to hear what he said about singleness. He says, "I wish that all of you were as I am, but each of you has your own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that." Now we'll pick it up there. "I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world and how she can please her husband. I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you." So he doesn't say you're restricted from marriage, but he says, "but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord." So as I read about this and studied this again, I came across an article and they said it this way. "Therefore, in this view, since marriage and singleness are both gifts from God, the question facing the single person is not whether they have the gift of singleness or not, but what they are doing with the gift God has given them." You've been given that gift. How are you stewarding it? God has given you this gift right now. So what is the gift of singleness? In short, it is singleness itself. It's a gift that is given to all for some time and some for all time. And as with all of God's gifts, we should receive it, celebrate, and steward it well. Paul argues that as a general rule of thumb, it is good for those who are unmarried to remain single. Going even further, Paul concludes this chapter by saying this. Listen to what he says. "He who marries his betrothed does well. But he said, he who refrains from marriage will do even better." Okay, so there's something in there. Paul's not saying that singleness is better, but he is acknowledging that it's a gift and it's a place where we can have an undivided heart. There's a sense there that it can be a blessing to you because you get to seek the Lord with pure devotion. Okay, so I want you to hear me say marriage and singleness are both gifts. And so we have to acknowledge that that's what the scripture says. And we believe this about scripture. The scripture says about itself that all scripture is God-breathed. That it's proper teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, that every man and woman would be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Okay, so we don't want to choose certain passages in the scripture and ignore others, right? And so we want to give you the full context of what the scripture is saying. When it comes to surrendering in this area of relationships for you, there's a song by Shane and Shane right now that I've been listening to a lot where it says, I will cling to the lover of my soul. And it says, I'm letting go of the rudder in the storm. Okay, if you're in a boat and you're in a storm and you let go of the rudder, the thing that's keeping you in the right path, you're going, man, if I let go, that's just like surrendering to whatever happens. And what I would tell you, you're surrendering to a good father who loves you. And in every area of life, that's the challenge, whether it's about dating or relationships or whatever, there's this opportunity for us to surrender to the Lord and say, Lord, I know that you have plans. I know that you are the author and perfecter of my faith, and I know you're good, and I'm going to trust you. And so if it's preparation for dating, and for anything in life, really, learning to practice surrender is crucial to your walk with Christ. All right, the second thing I want to tell you is the R in prep. And it's recognize the lies. Okay, how many have watched Hallmark movies? Okay, guys, raise your hand if somebody, Slink? Thank you, Slinker, your honesty. Okay, I watch them because my wife watched them. I have to say it like that. But I will tell you, when I start watching these movies, I do get hooked. And I watch them today. I'm like, well, we're going to finish this. And well, you really want to watch this? And I go, yeah. And so I can remember watching, and I was thinking about one particular one, and I don't know if you remember this one, but there was this one where a lady, she lived in a small town, and hold on, let me get to it. It's such a good one. She lives in this small town, and it's like a country little small town, and she decides, I got to get out of this town. And she goes to the big city, and she goes and she gets this corporate job. I don't know if y'all remember that one. It was so good. And she gets this corporate job, and when she's there, she starts moving up the ladder, and she gets success. And while she's there in the big city, she meets this guy, and he's kind of into himself, and he's kind of a jerk, if I'm honest. You remember that one? And then there's this festival, chocolate-making, chili cook-off, Christmas concert, carnival that's happening in her small town. And I don't know if you remember that one, but she goes back to her small town because she's got to go back because it's tradition. You know, she goes back and she's setting up in this small town for this chili cook-off, chocolate baking, carnival, Christmas concert thing. And she's in her town and lo and behold, she's setting things up and her old boyfriend, who she grew up liking in high school, happens to be working on the same project with her to set up for the chili. I know, you remember that one? And so they end up working together and something happens between them. It's like there's this old spark and they start to like each other and you start to go, well, maybe they're gonna start liking each other. And then, you remember that one? And then the guy comes back from the big city. He surprises her, the boyfriend. And she's like, what are you doing? You remember that one? And he comes and he surprises her. And then the old boyfriend who thought, man, maybe I'm getting back together with this girl, he sees her talking to the old boyfriend and it's misconstrued. There's something happening there and it's a misunderstanding. You remember that one? And then it turns out that he thinks that he likes the old boyfriend. So they go on, she leaves, and he wants to tell her how he feels, and he just didn't get a chance to. He couldn't get the words out of his mouth. You remember that one? And then she drives off, and at the end, they end up kissing. That's how all of them happen. Okay, so obviously, Hallmark has a formula, okay? And it is, and we all buy it. We all watch it, and we know exactly what's going to happen. You're calling it out. They don't even mess with names anymore. It's like, Christmas. Okay? Or it's Christmas cookies, Christmas love, Christmas jingles. I don't know. But it's pretty ridiculous, okay? And but it's a formula, right? And we watch it. And here's what I would tell you. The R is recognize the lies because there's a lot of that Hollywood stuff. There's movies you've seen, you know, that it always works out. And you see these things happen. And you buy into this idea of this romantic feeling that I'm going to have. And that's going to be the one. And you buy into some of that. And I would just remind you that we're not living the movies. And when it comes to relationships, relationships can be really challenging. They can be a lot of work. They can be a way, like when I think about marriage with my wife, I think about the way God is sanctifying me through marriage, through Angie, the way he's working on me, the way God is using her to change me. And so that's a good thing, but I would tell you it doesn't always end up as pretty as Hallmark movies make it. And so I would just challenge you to remember that those are the movies. That's Hollywood. That's what we see, but it's not really like that for most of us. And so I want to remind you of that, to not buy into that and not have expectations that are just crazy. Okay? Second thing I would tell you is that a lie that we can buy into is looking for the one. Okay? It's this one person. Some of you moved here to Dallas for a job and you're going, maybe that girl or that guy's in Phoenix, Arizona, and I shouldn't have taken this job and God's will, and you're trying to figure all that out. And I would just tell you that I think that there are a lot of people who could potentially be a spouse or a mate for you. I think there could have been for me. The Lord chose Angie for me, and I'm so thankful. But I think when we get caught up in that, that can be a lot of that Hollywood stuff too, like, well, I just know when I see her, my heart goes all a flutter, and you know, whatever it is. And we can make it kind of into this movie-like thing. So being careful that we think about things in relationships biblically. Here's a way I would encourage you to think about when you're talking about the lies we can buy into. What you ought to be looking for is someone who sees you as number two. And here's what I mean by that. That you are already married to Christ. Okay, this woman or this man, they're already married to Christ. And here's what I mean by married to Christ, that they are walking with Jesus. You see the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. You see them giving glory to the Lord. You see them being about his work and about him. And those are the things you should be looking for. Those are some truth that's playing out there as you see the fruit in their lives. And what we're tempted to do is look for other things. So look for the fruit of the Spirit in them. You want to be someone who sees you, like I said, as number two. Because here's the thing. If they see you as number one, you are going to let them down. You will never be able to satisfy what God intended to be satisfied in Christ. And if you set them up to that, or if you set somebody else, ladies, if you're looking for a guy to be that for you, he cannot be that for you. And guys, if you're looking for a woman to satisfy that, you can't be. And let me just tell you, if my wife was here tonight and she would tell you, she'd say, you got a witness on that, okay? And here's why. I will just tell you, my wife knows being married to me has this challenge. I'm a guy that can be irritable. I'm a guy that can struggle with anger at times. I'm a guy who, my jokes aren't nearly as funny as they used to be. She's heard every one of them, okay? And I'll give you two instances of that. This last Saturday, I'll let you in our living room. We're watching America's team, the Oklahoma Sooners, and we're watching them. So anyway, we're watching the game, and we're playing the powerhouse of Kansas, okay, in football. Kansas in football, it's a little different than basketball, okay? In football, not good. And we're watching this game, and I just last week I went on an institute retreat. I helped lead our institute program here, and then I entertained at the Reengage conference. And by the time Saturday came along, I was toast. All right, I was like, I'm too old for this. And I can remember being at home, just going, I'm so tired. And when I'm tired and irritable, there's like no filter. I just complain and kind of. And I'm watching America's team get beat by Kansas. Okay, and I, it's like there's no, I'm just like, what is going on here? How are they running right through our defense like that? They're marching. I'm saying all this. And my wife's going, Now, this is fun to watch the game with you. Okay, and eventually, here's what happened. This is the truth. I went, I'm going to have to leave the room because I'm just so frustrated and I'm making everybody else miserable in the room. That's what it's really like. Okay, and then when we had some friends over last night and I was sharing some things, they're laughing, they think it's funny, I'm telling them some jokes. She goes, and Angie's not laughing. And they go, well, Angie, and she goes, I've heard all these, and most of these are from movies. Most of his jokes are from movies. And I was like, you're blowing my cover. This is the only way. So that's reality. And so if Angie looks at me and says, man, I want you to just make life great, she is putting her hope in the wrong place. Okay, now I want to be a husband that loves her, and I want to be someone who cherishes her and all the things. But let me just tell you what the scripture calls the husband to be. I was just reading some of this again. 1 Peter 3:7, let's look at this. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as a weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. So here's the deal on that. Live with them in an understanding way. Notice how it doesn't say, hey, they need to understand you. You need to be understood. What it says is, no, I'm to cherish and prize her and honor her. And I'm just going to tell you, it doesn't happen unless I am surrendered to the Lord and walking in His Spirit. And the second verse that you guys, many of you all know, Ephesians 5, 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. You know what that means? He gave Himself up. He died for the church. He sacrificed His own self for that. So I'm to die to myself and love my wife like that. And again, that doesn't happen a lot of days because I'm about me. And so when we start thinking about, when we believe the lie, that it's just going to be this bliss and it's going to be awesome and all this stuff, we got to recognize, hey, there's a problem that's going to be in a marriage relationship or in a dating relationship. And you know what? It's going to have its challenges. You know why? Because you're in it. And I mean it. And the reason my marriage has challenges is because I'm in it. And I am a work in progress. The Lord is sanctifying me. He's working on me, but I'm not, I'm already justified, but I'm not fully sanctified. Won't be until I go to be with Him in heaven. Okay, so we have to recognize those lies. The last lie that I want you to think about and recognize is that sometimes as older people in our 30s, 40s, and 50s, we can give ourselves a pass when it comes to things that we should be heeding to early on in life. If I'm talking to my 17-year-old son or my 20-year-old son and they're talking about how they should treat a girl, a woman, I would tell them you would treat them with great honor. You would guard their heart. You, in the area of purity, you would do things public and planned. You would be intentional in the way you treat her. And what happens is, and this is, I'm fearful about this, concern for us, is that we get older and we go, oh, I don't need, that's kind of kid stuff. And I go, no, the same temptations are for you. You go, look, I own my own house. We can go hang out in my house if we want to. And I go, yeah, if you want to write your ticket for problems. You ought to be thinking about how you're going to honor that woman, men. And women, you should not go in that place. You just go, hey, we want to honor Christ. And it doesn't get easier. You're not like, oh, man, it's no problem now. I've got through my 20s. It is. It's still challenging. And so don't buy the lie that that's for kids, you know, and you talk about purity and all that stuff. No, the scripture talks about it. Scripture tells us to flee. It calls it youthful lust. It tells us to keep the marriage bed undefiled. There's all kinds of scriptures about that. And so we ought to honor God's word with that. Hey, the third thing we want to talk about is evaluating your life. That's the E. Listen to this scripture. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's Psalm 139, 23, and 24. You know, we just did this spiritual discipline series. Many of you all joined us for that. And there's something about slowing down enough to evaluate, where am I? What does my walk with Christ look like? Am I at a place right now where I'd say, yeah, I could take somebody else into a relationship. I could invite somebody else in that because this relationship, the vertical is right so I could handle the horizontal in a way that honors Christ. But you've got to ask yourself that. And what happens with us, we're tempted to just go, oh, we got this. I'm old enough. We got it. And we don't think about, we're not prayerful. We don't have a plan. And I would just encourage you to ask a few questions before you go there. And here's some questions to think about. Is your life marked by a rooted relationship with Christ? Is there a place right now, if you're just being honest, do people know, are people coming alongside you and spurring you on to Christ-likeness? Are you an encouragement to others? Is there a sin right now that you are allowing yourself to be enslaved to? It's an habitual sin in your life, and you're hiding it, and you're living a double life? If you are, you should not invite somebody into a relationship. That wouldn't be loving for them. And it wouldn't be good for you. Because here's what will happen. If we're in that, if we're living a double life like that, the relationship we're going to have, if we're not walking with Jesus, we're going to take life from them, not give life to them. And so it's important. And you know what? That's true in any place you are. Me as a husband, is there anything that I'm hiding? Is there anything that the enemy is looking to devour me with, as 1 Peter talks about? So guys and girls, both women and men here, this could be pornography. This could be any sin that you're hiding. Could be things from your past that you just don't want to talk about. You just go, man, I'm going to take that to the grave. And I go, I think the Lord wants you to walk in freedom. If you're going to date somebody and you're really going to enter into that, you should want to be honest and go, hey, you're going to know me, the real me. Here's who I am. But here's who I am in Christ. And here's what I'm not saying. If the prerequisite for dating was, well, you can't struggle with sin, that would be, all of us are disqualified, okay, or relationships. But if there's something that you go, hey, it's not just a little bit, or it's not occasional where I'm confessing and I'm repenting and turning from it, it's I'm stuck. And here's the analogy I want to give you. If you are in that place, if you all ever watch an NFL game where when a player gets hurt, he hurts his ankle or he gets hurt, and they go over and they put him in the tent. If you remember, they kind of pull that blue tent up and they go in there. And I want to encourage you to sit in the tent with the Lord. If you are playing right now in the game of life and you're going, hey, I've got a broken ankle and no one knows, and I'm going to keep trying to act like I don't, but I this sin is killing me, so to speak. Okay, and you get in the tent and you let the Lord work on you. You know what Moses did in Exodus 33? It said that he would go get in the tent of meeting with the Lord, and he would sit in that tent with him, and it said he would talk to God like he was talking with a friend. Is that the way you think about your relationship with the Lord? Hey, I'm talking with him. I have a relationship with him. His spirit is reigning in me. I don't mean all the time perfectly, but you're pursuing the Lord. And if you're not, guess what? It'd be an incredible gift for you to slow down and evaluate your life and go, Lord, I know what Galatians 5:1 says. You want me to have freedom. You don't want me to be enslaved by sin because I know you. And so that you would take time. And you know what happens in those tents also is other people come in the tent and the other people evaluate with you and they go, yeah, that's a broken ankle. And I want to help you get well. I want to pray for you and I want to be an encouragement to you. And if you are not, if you don't have that in your life, I think you're missing out on part of what God has for you. It's called the body of Christ. It's his church. And so you get to go in the tent with others who would be there alongside you. So I want you to think about that. That'd be a time for you as you evaluate, go, Lord, where do I need to go in the tent and just sit with you and say, is there any grievous way in me? Is there anything you need to convict me about? And would you help me to turn from it and turn to you? Not just turn from it, but run to Jesus. It's the best thing you could do for any relationship, for any friendship, to be a better brother, a better sister, a better coworker, and certainly in a dating relationship, it's the best thing you could do. And let's just acknowledge this, that I know in this room that there's divorce as part of some of our story. Okay, as you're evaluating your life, you're going, man, that's, and I know that can bring a lot of pain. And some of you may go, and I brought a lot of that pain. And here's what I would tell you. We know the scripture says that God is not for divorce, but we know that he loves you. And what I would encourage you to be doing with that, I want you to know that we're grieved with you. But here's how I would encourage you, is that to know that divorce and remarriage is a place where many believers will disagree on. It's a gray area in the scripture. It's you have to really go to the word and study it. And I would encourage you to sit in the word and really take a long look at what the word says. That's my encouragement to you. And then I would encourage you to acknowledge that our culture tells us, oh, you can just do whatever you want. Just, you know, it's fine. And you ought to say, okay, what's from the Lord and what's from our culture? And you ought to be willing to sit with the Lord and sit with other believers who would say, hey, here's what I think God's word says. Here's how I'd encourage you. Here's how I'm going to pray for you. And at Watermark, we have a pastoral response to marriage, divorce, remarriage. Encourage you to take a look at that. It's just a look at the scripture and where we believe we best land with that. Man, seek that out. And what we say in there that's really important is we say, and if you land in a different place than we do, grace to you. Because people can land in different places on that. But here's what I don't want you to do is just be flippant about it. I want you to seek the Lord, seek his spirit, seek his word, and be instructed by his people. The fourth thing is this. The P is proper expectations. Okay? And this is one that I want to address with you guys. The scripture, when you think about marriage, it says this in 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? So the one prerequisite for you as you think about dating, as you're preparing to say, Lord, is this something you'd have for me? Is you want to say, is that person, are they a believer? And if you're a believer in Christ, you'd want to be in a relationship with someone who is also a believer. And here's the other thing I want to tell you, is that your expectations, you should want to seek out the right things. And the world's going to tell you all kinds of things to pursue. Okay, they're going to tell you what's important. And what you want to do is go to God's word and see what is valuable. Where the word says things like, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And so when it comes to what you should be pursuing and who you should be pursuing, it's someone who is, like we talked about earlier, pursuing Christ. Do you see the fruit of the Spirit in their relationship with the Lord? And start there. Not does he satisfy my needs or does she satisfy my needs, but do they know Jesus? Because that's where it should all start. It shouldn't be if they're hot, the guy's hot, the woman's hot. It shouldn't be if they make a lot of money, if they have a great job. Those could be things that you may, but those should not be your primary things. Okay, you'd be seeking the wrong things. And so challenge yourself of what you should be looking for. Here's the other thing I would tell you on expectations, is that you thinking that there's a perfect fit. Okay, I challenge that with you. I remember when I was, I've heard guys say, these are my 10 things I'd like to have in a woman. I go, 10 things? Man, I only see 4 in you, you know? And so I can look at myself. And I would just tell you, you want to be careful with expectations. I have a friend, it was in his early 30s, and he was dating some different ladies. And I remember him saying things to me, like we would talk about his dating relationships. And I remember one time I saw different patterns with him. One time it was, he would always go after the most attractive girls and they would turn him down. And I started to go, man, what's going on there? You know, and what I was realizing is what I saw in the pattern was, is he was afraid. He was afraid to lead. He was scared of like, man, so I'll ask this girl and I know she's going to say no, but I'll feel like I'm in the game and that'll make me feel better. And then I saw he would date somebody and he would find a superficial flaw, so a certain personality trait or something and I remember looking at him one time, he was talking about an appearance thing, and I did. I looked at him and I said, you need to look in the mirror, bro. See, you aren't Tom Cruise. And I told him that. Because I was going, are you kidding me? You would not date her because of that? That's crazy. And so then the last thing I saw with him was I was inviting him to help us with some student ministry stuff, and he's really funny, this friend of mine, and he's really gifted. And I would invite him to do some things up front, and he was like, man, I got to quit doing, you know, skits and silly stuff because, man, ladies would think I'm just a kid, you know. And I said, buddy, that's one of your best qualities. You are so fun. And I said, it's one of God's gifts. And if a woman doesn't appreciate that, you don't try to be something you're not. God's given you great gifts. Don't put on airs. Be secure in who Christ has made you. Now, I'm not talking about things that might be sin, like, I'm just an angry guy. I'm just going to stay angry. Not that. But for him, it was, hey, I'm a guy who is a lot of fun. You know, and I said, that's a gift. And what I watched happen is my friend began to secure up. He got in the tent, and he began to secure up in his relationship with Christ. And then he got to a place where he could really give a relationship a fair chance, where he could go, I'm going to lead dependent on the Lord, even though I'm kind of fearful at times, and I'm going to trust the Lord with that. And his story, he ended up marrying a lady, and they're doing great. They have kids and all that. I don't tell you the ending because, you know, well, this is what's going to happen. But what I tell you is, no matter what happened, he was doing the right thing to firm up who he is in Christ, preparing for whatever the Lord has for him. And so my encouragement to you is tonight is, as you, the best thing you can be doing is thinking about these things, to practice the surrender, to recognize the lies that we're all tempted to believe. Okay, to evaluate your life, slow down enough to go, Lord, is this what you'd have for me? And am I ready to do that? Am I ready to enter into a relationship to bring somebody else along? As if you're a woman, you go, that I'd be willing to enter into a relationship, and I want to do that in a way that honors you. Let me remind you of who you are in Christ real quick. Titus 2, 11 through 14. It says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify himself, a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works. That is, you want to wait. You don't want to wait to be married. You want to put your hope in Christ and then trust him with the rest of the story, that he's writing it. There's a period at the front. He's writing new chapters for you. Will you trust him? And will you be content if it doesn't go exactly how you want it to? Because what we want to do is we want to take the pen out of his hand and go, let me write the story. I know what's best for me. And the reality is that's not true. So if you'll practice these things, this is what we're kind of laying the foundation, okay, for what's coming here. But if you'll practice these things, here's some things that I wrote down. You'll see your relationships and all relationships be more life-giving because the fruit of the Spirit will be more evident in your life as you surrender to Christ. You'll walk with Jesus, and if you find your security in Christ first, it will help you see the right things in a potential spouse. If you're not walking with Christ, you may look around and you may be tempted to go after things that don't really matter or things that aren't going to be good. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will give you the desire, or he will make your path straight. So here's what I'll tell you. Next week, we're going to talk about, and I hope you'll keep coming. We're going to keep getting more specific as we go. But we had to start in a place of going, hey, what's your walk with Christ look like? And the best thing we can tell you is there's joy in him, in his presence, his fullness of joy. Psalm 16 says, apart from him, you have no good thing. And you go, what? I want this good thing called a relationship. I want to be married. And I would just tell you, it starts first with knowing him and being content in him. And he'll be enough for whatever the story is he's writing for you. Will you trust him? Let me pray. Father, thank you that every day is an opportunity to trust you more. Would you help us to remember the goodness of our God in any and all circumstances? I pray we've learned the secret of being content, and it's finding our strength and our joy in Christ. Your word says that Christ in us is the hope of glory. We have an inheritance that will never fade because we know you. And if there's anyone in the room tonight that has not put their trust in Christ, Would you give him the courage to talk to one of our leaders about what it looks like to know Jesus and to put your trust in him? And I pray that you would minister now in our groups, that you'd help us to be honest with each other, to share real stuff, that what we say would build others up according to their needs, as your word says. And I thank you for my friends that join us tonight. In Jesus' name.